ABC Radio Australia.
The World Trade Organization met for a key meeting overnight where a proposal to waive patents and other intellectual property rights related to COVID-19 medical products was back on the table. Supporters of the idea say it's the only way to ensure a fair distribution of vaccines. But up to now, Australia has been opposed to the move. Now it's prompted a wide range of church and civil society groups to send an open letter to government ministers calling for a change of heart. As Richard Hewitt reports, Pacific Islands would benefit if a waiver is agreed upon, as vaccines and eventually COVID-19 treatments become more accessible and more freely available.
One of the open letter's signatories, the Executive Director of ActionAid Australia, describes the existing situation as vaccine apartheid. And La Trobe University's Dr. Deborah Gleeson, who represents another of these signatories, the Public Health Association of Australia, says the waiver would be transformative.
At the moment, the global supply of vaccines and other products needed to fight the pandemic is too short to meet the demand. And the rights to make these products that are really desperately needed are held by a small number of companies that can exclude competitors from the market. There is manufacturing capacity that could be brought into play to ramp up the global supply if only the companies were able to access the rights to make these products.
Right now, more than 100 of the WTO's 160 members are backing the waiver, and since May, that includes the United States. But opponents still include the European Union, Switzerland and Australia. Oxfam Australia's chief executive Lynn Morgan says Canberra's position is hard to understand because until all countries are protected, none is safe.
What is being asked for by these 100 countries is that we enable those regional and national governance structures to effectively protect their populations, knowing that unless and until they're able to do that, neither will our population be safe.
Unless vaccines are made more widely available, Dr. Gleeson says the Delta variant that is causing havoc in Fiji and has now been recorded for the first time in Papua New Guinea won't be the last.
If we don't bring the pandemic under control around the globe, we're going to see more variants emerging that could be resistant to vaccines. And so the whole world's recovery from the pandemic really hinges on making sure that every country is able to control outbreaks of the virus.
In the meantime, Australia has made a number of vaccine pledges to Pacific Island nations, the latest involving 1 million doses for Solomon Islands. But Lynn Morgan and Deborah Gleeson are agreed that announcements on their own are not enough.
Because we do have a very limited global supply, we need to actually increase the production of these products. And so much more fundamental action is needed rather than just charitable donations. We need to actually make sure that countries have the ability to manufacture these products and the rights to manufacture these products themselves, and that transnational companies located in the US, Europe, the UK aren't preventing that from happening.
The amount that is being committed just simply doesn't touch the sides. And when you look across the region, we do need to, we think, significantly strengthen the efforts of the Australian government to work with the regions, cooperate with national governments to ensure a cohesive and ongoing approach to support in the vaccine space.
And she says that means utilising community networks to ensure questions of hesitancy and the like are being addressed. The Australian government's Indo-Pacific Centre for Health Security has taken some steps on that front. For example, by inviting rugby league legend Mal Meninga to promote the immunisation message in a video that's circulating on social media in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, no, it's very important messaging to all the Papua New Guinea people up there around getting immunised, making sure that they look after themselves, do the right thing by their families, by their villages and by their country.
But without the WTO waiver, Lynn Morgan says the impact of such messaging will be undermined.
Things have changed. We are in a global pandemic. We do need to ensure we vaccinate the whole population. This is the way we do it. If we give up this opportunity, we're condemning ourselves to gross inequality.
Australia is shooting itself in the foot if it doesn't support this waiver, because of course Australia is very much feeling the pinch of the low global supply of vaccines. If more vaccines were able to be made in hubs in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, for example, where there is manufacturing capacity, there are experienced vaccine makers in those areas, then the supply would be able to be increased much more quickly and Australia would be able to get more vaccines imported from overseas.
Australia is already under international scrutiny over its own poor vaccination record. And Lynn Morgan says mixed messages from Prime Minister Scott Morrison on the AstraZeneca vaccine have caused confusion in the Pacific as well as Australia.
I think it undermines our authority, frankly, in the sense that we could look at certainly several countries across the region who, although they have not had access to the vaccine, they've certainly responded effectively in trying to protect populations. And there's some argument for saying that Australia globally is looking, frankly, less than competent.
Matt Morris from the Global Fund, which invests $4 billion a year in tackling disease around the world, has taken to Twitter calling on Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade to provide a comprehensive plan for its vaccine program in the region rather than a slow drip of announcements. Lynn Morgan says Oxfam's experience would suggest that such a move is necessary.
We are definitely hearing from our partners that there could be considerable improvement in the planning and implementation of vaccine rollout. We have to be very careful here that we make an offer and provide a product or a service in a way that meets the needs of local communities and facilitates their future strengthening and capacity to manage these issues within their populations. And that's not always the way that these things happen, because in the rush to announce, sometimes we don't follow through sufficiently to see whether our implementation plans have been effective. And certainly the Oxfam experience would be that some of what is happening could be strengthened for sure.
If a WTO waiver were to be agreed, then the immediate impact would be on the manufacture and distribution of vaccines. But COVID-19 treatments may not be far away now. And Deborah Gleeson says without the waiver, those drugs won't be cheap.
The World Health Organization recently started recommending one of the monoclonal antibodies called tocilizumab for COVID-19. These products are very expensive and many of them are protected not just by one patent but by many patents. And so it'll be really important to free up the rights to make those products and to really be able to increase the global supply of those quite quickly to add that extra tool for bringing the pandemic under control.
La Trobe University's Dr. Deborah Gleeson from the Public Health Association of Australia, ending that report from Richard Hewitt. And we are told that a request for a response from the Australian government in the form of an interview or a statement is being followed up.